All right, guys, what's going on? Welcome to episode 10 of Let's Talk Tech, and we have Jennifer Jordan here joining us. She's a security engineer. Let's give her a round of applause, please. Thank you. But yeah, guys, it's funny. I had actually been seeing you on the timeline, and I forgot what you post, but when you really posted the XOR stuff, really actually caught my attention. I was like, I was like, let me see, you know, she'd be interested. Cause see, I've pretty much interviewed like different people, whether it's networking or just regular IT or you name it, but I haven't found anyone that's using some of the same things that I've used at work before. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was pretty cool. I've just been trying to find somebody to actually get, talk to someone about you a little bit more about engineering or slash type of analyst work or whatever. Yeah. So that's pretty cool. But I'll let you introduce yourself, to the people and tell them about yourself, and then we'll get into it.
For sure. So yeah, I'm Jennifer. I am fairly new to the cyber world. You know, I spent the last 20 years in the Navy, and none of it was cyber work, but a lot of it was a lot of like threat intel. So some of it was relatable. I kind of got into cyber like on accident, to be honest. A friend of mine was like, "Hey, Jen, I need you to fill a seat because, you know, I got to send these guys to this boot camp and it's a 5-seat minimum. I only got 4 guys." And I was like, "All right, what is it?" She was like, "It's Security Plus." And I'm like, "All right, never heard of it." At the time, I was acting as a security manager, so I wasn't doing anything except like running background investigations and stuff like that. So I go to this boot camp and I'm like, "Oh, okay, this is IT stuff. All right, I like it." Come back, get my cert. I don't know how I passed Security Plus, but I got it, right? So a year goes by and same scenario. She was like, "Hey, my guys got to keep up with the education stuff and I need to fill another seat. You want to go?" And I'm like, "Yeah, what is it?" She was like, "I need you to sit in on CEH." I was like, "Well, what is that?" And she was like, "Oh, it's certified ethical hacker." And I was like, "All right, sounds cool. I'll sit in." This one, I wasn't so successful right away because it was definitely like a challenge. It was a 5-week boot camp or a 5-day boot camp. You test out on Friday. I tested twice, failed twice. And I was like, "Nah, man, I can't go out like this." So I got some study material. Waited about a month later and then got that cert. So after I finally got that cert, I was like, you know, I really like this cyber world. You know, a lot of stuff is relatable. And I changed my degree, got an internship, and then the rest was kind of history.
Nice. Oh, man, that was a lot. You kind of answered a lot of stuff, but we'll get a little bit more in depth about that a little later. So 20 years in the Navy. Before we ask that, what area like are you located in now? What area are you in now?
So I live in Georgia. I'm about 30 miles south of Atlanta. It's in the suburbs called McDonough. So it's like real, real rural out here. But you get the best bang for your buck when it comes to house and space and privacy.
I saw that. I was like, man. Because I'm in a DFW area and they're taxing right now anyways with everybody, the transplants from Cali coming here, paying for houses in cash, messing up the market. Yeah.
It's the same here. It was tight. I think I just got lucky.
You think so?
It was a new build and it was one of the ones that the builder was like, "Hey, I want to try this build out." And it was the only floor plan in the entire neighborhood. And it was their most expensive one. And they weren't going to build another one. They were just trying to off the house. And so it was at the right time for me. And I was like, the stars aligned. This must be my house. So, yeah, that's how it was, literally like just perfect timing.
Man, like, so for me, I look at like, I go to like realtor.com all the time. And I was looking like, and I think Georgia the other day, I was like, y'all stuff still is priced better than DFW though.
Yeah.
And I was like,
I thought it was a lot better the further south. I guess, you know, Texas is considered a little bit further south. I don't know. But yeah, I thought it was definitely cheaper to go to Texas, but I have no reason to go down to Texas at all.
Yeah. Yeah. What really does it for Texas is the property taxes.
Okay.
They're like insane because, you know, there's no state tax, so that the state, you know, tries to make their
Okay.
money back, you know, any type of way. But it's some areas you can move to for and get some steals, because now people are moving to the popular areas, and then, you know, people moving to rural areas, eventually people move there, so your house value goes up, and you know.
Yeah, I
But
think a lot of people are coming out of San Francisco, the Bay Area, to move here. A lot of the companies, the tech companies, are migrating from out there here because it is cheaper, which makes the tech scene a lot better as far as opportunities in the
definitely.
Atlanta area.
Definitely. So since you technically gave us a little bit of your background, how was the Navy, and what did you do in the Navy, you know, that, and I guess, yeah, I'll figure it out after I listen, but like, you know, tell me about that.
So honestly, I didn't even know how my background would be relatable until literally like 2 or 3 weeks ago. I had to do a project, as most interns do at the end of their internship. And I started thinking, like, you know, a lot of the work that I did was similar to like how a sock or a knock might operate. Now, a lot of people hate on the socks and the knock, but it's a lot of grinding that goes on behind the scenes. And so my job was similar to a SOC. It was 24/7 as long as the ship was out to sea. You were doing a lot of tracking and a lot of threat intel. You know what I mean? You were tracking the ships, you were tracking the subs, you were tracking, you know, the aircraft. Same exact enemy, just a different kind of battlefield, if you will. You know what I mean? The top people who we are fighting as far as cyber terrorism is the same people we were fighting, you know, on a literal like military war type. You know what I mean? And so, like, my job was to track all of the ships, put it into some kind of display for, you know, upper echelon people to make decisions on what we were going to do as far as like navigating the ship, or even like a defensive posture. And I said, man, that sounds a lot like what I'm doing now, cybersecurity. You know, you got to understand the threat landscape, and then you set the company up, you know, in some sort of defensive posture to fight off cyber terrorism. So, like, that was kind of like really how I tailored my resume to even get the opportunity to get a cyber internship, because they couldn't figure it out. But once I explained it similar to that, it was all just the option of them saying, all right, we're gonna give you a chance.
Nice. And I'm glad you broke it down like that for anybody that's listening. She really broke it down, because one of the things that I, you know what, let me give you an air horn for that. She broke that down, because what I find is people come to me for my services, and sometimes they don't realize that they have the same skills, they're just doing them differently somewhere else. And the way that you was able to illustrate that, you know, let them know that, okay, you fully understand what this role is. A lot of people, I think, get intimidated by not having cyber in their role, like the actual name. And they say, well, I don't have no security experience. I was like, sure you do. Everybody's did something security related in any job. I don't care if, you know, you was a cart pusher. You did something that you had to do that was security related. And once they start telling me what they did, I end up finding it. So I'm glad that you really did. You touched on that. And so you did mention a internship. Was the internship before the search or after?
After. So, like, a big piece of me selling myself after converting my experience was the fact that I did have two certs that were relatable, and everybody calls them, like, you know, entry level certifications. What it got me the entry. And so for that, you know, it did what it was supposed to do. I had the certs, and I have not finished my degree, but this company don't really care. You know, they really don't even care about certs. They really just want to know, like, do you understand and can you learn quickly? Like, do you understand what we're doing and can you learn quickly? And that was like probably 60% of my battle, was just explaining it. I got it. Hey, let's
Listen,
do it.
are you on Twitter?
I am on Twitter.
I don't know if we follow each other on Twitter. I put up a screenshot yesterday. I might put it up on the video right here whenever I put it on YouTube, saying I just finished the interview for this senior. It's actually a senior level IR manager position. And I was like, not once did they ask me about my certs, not once did they ask me about a degree or CISSP. And you touched on it. And I also bring up that I also made a video about CEH. I don't really, a lot of people don't care for it. One, we don't care for it because they have it too expensive. I think it's far too expensive of a cert that doesn't test practical skills.
It doesn't. It's all regurgitation.
And honestly, when I took it, I ended up studying for the old version, ended up taking a new version test, which whatever reason was totally different from what was in study material. But what I found out is like about 60, 75% of that test was knowing the MAP scans.
Yes. Yep.
And to me, I was just like, you know, that don't doesn't show anything. But I think what's happened is a lot of people, and don't take this the wrong way, but I've seen it mostly with people who are probably work more military jobs in the government sector or contracts are always trying to push people to go get certs. And I'm like, I get it, but it's not the end all be all because people sometimes think they should be paid because of they pay X amount to get, you know, for this cert. And I was like,
they're trying to recoup that.
I was like, it really doesn't matter. Certs have become very devalued because you got people on LinkedIn trying to take the certs for you and all a whole bunch of other stuff. And I'm like, it doesn't matter because all this shows is that you could pass or fail a test. Some places really prefer you probably have. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I think it's amazing that they list all of that stuff in these job descriptions. And a huge takeaway, like during this whole process, is that those job descriptions are like wish lists for these companies. You know what I mean? And if they get everything on there, they got a unicorn. And nobody is hiring unicorns. If they see you got everything on the checklist, they're going to tell you you're overqualified. You're not going to get the job. You know, then there's kind of like no room for growth. So like my outlook was more or less like, I got the certs. I got some transferable skills. I'm going to shoot my shot. And it worked. And now, like, you know, next week is when I get my official offer. You know, it's a guy that's been training me on a lot of the tools. He ain't had a degree the whole time he's been there, been like 6 years, and he getting paid well over six figures, well over six figures. And he ain't doing much more than what I'm doing. You know what I mean? So like for anybody trying to figure out, like, you know, do you got to have everything on the list? No, absolutely not. You do not have to check everything on the list.
Definitely. I normally tell everybody, I made a video saying, let them tell you no, because that's one of my best mottos I got from Mr. Eddie's wife. And that's what I live by, is let them tell me no, because you might get, like you said, unicorns. Like, man, it's like these companies, they, matter of fact, most of the time, the manager never didn't even write the job description. HR or somebody wrote it based on whatever they seen in the market, and it doesn't make sense. Now, I am able to tell what's entry level, what's mid, and what's senior based on the responsibilities. But even then, you know, you can kind of sift through that BS, because that's why I always ask, you know, what's a typical day like? Because I see what you say on the job, but what would I actually be doing? Because most of the stuff you don't really end up doing at the job. And you got
My job description, a lot of the stuff that's in there is not stuff that I do. Is the manager does a lot of the stuff that's in my job description, you know, and it's not, he ain't doing none of the work that we doing. Of course, he probably already did his time at this level, but like, I think those job descriptions give you something to work towards in that role.
Definitely. And it's also the thing, I just get back on the cert talk. I did my blog about, you know, trying to, why you're successful in getting cybersecurity. I told people, it was a guy, what did he say? Well, he was trying to get something else. I say, honestly, after say, bless to me, you have enough to now just actually figure out your exact role you want to do and plan it out. I was like, really don't get anything else. It's another guy on my Instagram feed. He's getting all these different certs. I think he's got Network Plus, Azure Fundamentals. He has Cloud Practitioner, Sec Plus, and now he's trying to do CCNA. And I'm like, I had pretty much asked him, I said, you know, what's the end goal? And he was like, oh, I'm trying to get in cyber. And I'm like, well, so honestly, you really don't need all that if you got Network Plus. Not that it's superior to CCNA, but you're not going to be doing, unless you're doing like something like maybe like a security network architect where you're doing like both things and really doing architecture type stuff, you're not going to really have to need to know that much about networking because you're not going to be setting
Right.
up anything or any devices or anything like that. It's like, so you don't have to. The more search you have doesn't really help out. Sometimes it makes them probably avoid you. Just like, well, I don't know what type of role he wants to do because these things don't match. And it's just
Yeah.
a lot of just bad information. I hate when I just see
I
somebody say,
think
oh yeah, a couple of search and you be straight. I'm like,
no, I think the one thing
not
that I've
always.
learned is even after getting Security Plus and getting CEH, not a lot of that stuff is relevant to what I do. You know what I mean? It was just like even like somebody, I'm not going to discourage anybody to go get A plus, M plus, Sec plus, but if let's just say somebody wants to get into, like you said, the architecture side, you're not really building no hardware stuff anymore because everything is automated in the cloud. So it's a digital version of all this hardware stuff that you're learning. So like
Thanks.
you might learn some foundational stuff, but you're not really putting no hands on, no kind of networking stuff. You're not plugging a bunch of cables. Not what I've seen. You know, everything is third party through a cloud. They set it up and you just come in and you defend it. You know what I mean? Like, so as far as an architectural level or anybody doing networking stuff trying to get into cyber, I would say figure out what that job is in the cloud and go that route because you're going to be selling yourself short. You're studying for this. I don't even want to say that because I don't want to discourage anybody, but you understand what I'm saying?
No,
Like,
I
it's
definitely
like
understand. I had
you're
a.
starting at a level that's not going to be relevant and you're going to have to learn a whole nother set of like processes once you get in the game.
Right. The only time I really tell somebody to get A plus is if they have like zero experience of like nothing, not anything like that translates into another role. Because I have people where they come in and we work out a plan and I'm saying, you know what? You'll be good at the project management route in tech. And then you probably could pivot to something else because you know about all these different things. You just didn't do them. But if they just say, you know what, hey, I'm trying to get my foot wet. I just want to help this role for about 6 months a month. I'll say, okay. Some of them are already studying A plus. I say, well, just get that role. Don't stay in it long, no longer than 6 months to a year and then pivot.
Yeah, you got to be ready to level up because like you get comfortable and think like this is all right, it's safe. Don't get comfortable.
Right. So I know a lot of people that's the people that sell the search, not search, but like have a search training to get the search, they're probably gonna be mad to hear this. But I mean, just giving the real, we know you're doing your job. I will say certs are good because certain certs can help you. I know and tell people, hey, get it if you're gonna use it, if it's gonna directly benefit you. Like I just
Right.
had a guy it's in one of my latest videos tell me he was studying or about to take CYSA, but he didn't have any security experience. I normally tell people if you don't have experience, do not take that test because people will not believe that's one of CompTIA's like if you're listening right now, CYSA is on the same, I guess whatever DoD mark for like CEH is the same thing, cheaper, but a much harder test.
Yeah.
Especially if you're on blue team. It's harder, but it is useful because it will take your skills up when you're working. That's the test I really only recommend for people with experience because that test is, they had that test hard for no reason. Like real deal. Like it's not like Sec Plus. Like I know you said how you passed Sec Plus. That test for real, it's like, bruh, like what are they talking about?
I thought about like if I was going to get another cert, that was going to be the next one. But to be honest, there's nothing that this company really expects you to get in order to like level up. The next level for me is if I wanted to go to like advanced threat hunting team, and what they require is not CYSA. It's, they want
Excellent.
like I don't even know what it is, but like CYSA is not one, but that's one that I want to get so that whatever that next cert is, I at least got some foundational knowledge for that because they do build upon each other. You know, you'll see a lot of the same stuff in each certification.
I would say if you got a lot of where you can doing a lot of things like looking at logs and doing a lot of analysis work, CYSA is like very good for that because it does. It, like I said, it helps out with that. It's more centralized. Like Security Plus is more of a scattershot approach, but this is definitely, a focal point of Blue Team. Just like I think Pentest Plus is more red team based, And I don't really know much about the cast, but I've never really wanted to look into getting that. It's funny how we've actually went through some of these questions without even having to ask them. So what we'll do is your role that you're doing now, is that the internship, or you did the internship before this role?
No, this is the internship, and it is going to turn into full-time employment, same exact role.
Okay, so let's talk about that. You don't have to give up, who it is, but more so about.
Actually, they are prideful about like how they hire and the amount of internships they give.
Well, I mean, let the world know. I got a lot of people that, Oh, do they, hold on, do they do remote internships, or you have to be present?
Look, their headquarters is my internship is with Liberty Mutual Insurance, the Limu Emu Cats, right? And nobody could have told me that they had a global cyber security operations center had I not been enrolled in this program that kind of got me to the internship. And I'll backtrack and tell and talk about like how I got the internship, but Liberty Mutual is huge about internships, and they do probably the most hiring of interns that I've ever seen. Like when out here searching for jobs, Liberty Mutual is all that I got, and that's not a plug. They literally gave me an opportunity. They said, "Here's all the tools. Jump on a call if you got stuff."
Yeah, man, that's what's up. But yeah, just sh share some more on that, because I think that's one of the biggest issues. It's like a lot of people are like, man, well, how do I get experience? I know ways to get
Internship.
experience, but internship is like the best way because it's paid and you're actually showing that you prove value, especially if they keep
Yeah,
on bringing you
so
back or they hire you.
this is how mine went down. So I told you I did 20 years. My actual retirement is not for another 2 months, right? So the way it works is this program is called Hiring Our Heroes, and it's sponsored by US Chamber of Commerce. And so ethically, because I'm still getting paid, my active duty pay, I can't be paid via their internship. So it's a win-win in this program. They get to teach me for free and not pay me, but I'm still getting my active duty check. So I don't really lose no money. I get to kind of like transition to the civilian world without losing any money, which is hard for a lot of people, because there are some internships that aren't paid, but they probably offer a great role on the backside. So the Hiring Our Heroes is a 12-week program. The way Liberty has it set up is very structured. You got the first month you spend in cyber defense, the second month you spend in advanced threat hunting, and then the last month you spend in what's called sim dev. So those are the guys who kind of they fine-tune all the automation that the engineers use when we're going through and triaging and trying to figure out like how stuff is coming into the infrastructure. So like on a day to day, like you don't know which team you're gonna get put on. But for me, I think they're gonna put me back at the beginning, which is cyber defense, which is cool because I like it. It's easy money. But the end goal, my first love was really in programming. So hopefully I'll get to go sit with the sim dev guys at some point and then, pivot and go somewhere else, level up, get more money. If anybody say they don't do it for the money, they tripping because you can't feed your kids passion. You know what I'm
Hey, that's something I said on Twitter to people. I mean, not Twitter, Facebook. I was
saying?
like, go get you a major if you can go to school, a major that makes some money. I was like, you can do your passion later. And a lot of people kind of gave me some pushback on it, but I'm like, bro, y'all going to get English degrees and all that stuff and stuff that's not paying y'all. Y'all end up working at call centers or possibly being teachers. There's nothing wrong with that. But you didn't want to do that. That's just what you have to back
You didn't
about. And that's
spend thousands of dollars to say I'm just passionate about this, and that's just it. And my kid still needs to figure out a way to pay for college. That's not the goal. I don't want to work forever. You know what I mean? So I like what I do, and I want to be paid well for it. There's nothing wrong with that.
definitely. So when you say they're gonna put you at cyber defense, is that gonna make you like what do they call the analysts? Like for example, with Optiv, they
Don't
call them
have
threat
analysts.
analysts.
Everybody's an engineer.
Okay, I like that. I can get with that.
Yeah, I mean,
it's, to me, don't really matter
because of the breakout about like they. I think they had some beef, and I heard a little bit of the churn when I first got there about like, you know, tier two, tier three, who was what. So it was like, you know what, everybody's going to be an engineer, and so it's they have a cybersecurity engineer, they have a senior cybersecurity engineer, and then they have principal. And so that's the level. So their analyst is really their cybersecurity engineers, and then the senior guys kind of work in advanced threat. And some of the senior guys were working like sim dev, you know, just fine tuning a lot of the automation stuff.
Yeah, how it goes with us was like analyst, senior analyst. And you got, I think you got to like, you can go senior analyst too. Then you can do principal analyst. And then the same token, you can do the same thing with the engineer, right? Engineer one, senior engineer, principal engineer.
Yeah, so my role is equivalent to an analyst, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I mean, I figured that when I saw you using, you know, but tell us about the stack they got you using.
So on a daily, I really use, so we have Tanium. I don't really use Tanium that much because it's very finicky.
As really? Far as, to like, you? I like it.
I don't like Tanium. I mean,
they must not keep it up to keep it together.
Well, I think they didn't really allow me to get dirty with it either because we're moving to CrowdStrike. And so like, we're not a lot of the stuff we're gonna like, you know, get rid of here in the near future. But so I use the Palo Alto SOAR, which is like, you know, the mail triage stuff, it's the ticketing queue. And then I use Splunk a lot in conjunction with the SOAR ticketing system. And as far as like analysis tool, I use Cisco AMP, Threat Grid. They have a stack on the outside that does like, you know, the breakdown of attachments and put that together called Voltairo. So anything that comes in, it's got an attachment, it'll break it down, check it for malicious stuff, put it back together and let it through. Tanium. For proxy, we have Zscaler. For our proxy,
okay. I've used Zscaler before.
Yeah, they got a lot of tools. They got a lot of money too. So like, they just you know, we're gonna buy this and try it.
That's well, that's good. But then some companies make a mistake by just thinking they're gonna buy the tool and they ain't gotta tune it. They ain't gotta critique it to their environment, and that's where they mess up at.
The hardest part for me so far has just been like how they do. They process like the agile. Whatever that is, that's new to me. Like, it's not a military thing. So like how they I don't even know what it's called, but the methodology on how they like get stuff done and the sprints, all that terminology is stuff that
you're talking about, like that project management type stuff, or as when they
yes. So they do a lot of that terminology. I think it's just gonna take some getting used to, but
yeah, I feel you
for people who are trying to get into cyber. That's a thing. Like, we need people who are product owners who are into project management. Like, that's an entryway into cyber. So a lot of people don't realize that that skill set alone, just being a project manager, can get you into cybersecurity. And then you get to see what everybody is doing. You know, I call it the grunt work. Everybody that's out here grinding.
Yeah. One of my friends, he would say, y'all use Agile, Waterfall. I'm like, man, I don't know. That's not me. I'm just in the meetings with my manager and one of the project managers from time to time. Just say, hey, we trying to implement Phantom. We got to do this. Hey, you know what? Now we got to implement XOR with X amount of days. So, but that's cool. I didn't use it like Tanium either, but then I realized I was kind of using it wrong. I didn't know how to ask it the right questions. We did like some Tanium training. I think, what was that, last year? I think it was like last year. So I think I got the PDFs or somewhere. It can be a powerful tool of knowing how to utilize it correctly.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time I work out a threat response because that's what they kind of do, the alert through threat response. And threat response is pretty simple. Well, you know, what I'll do is sometimes if I see a host throwing a threat response and see all the type of signals that's on it, and you can do a live connect and see what type of processes may be running. So that's pretty cool, but I love CrowdStrike more. It's more visual.
CrowdStrike appealing. Is supposed to be like the Cadillac of all of them, so I hear.
Yeah, it's overtaking a lot. And then you got Sentinel-1 that's coming up as well. Mm-hmm. Since the one you're start hearing their name a lot, it just went public. I bought some of their stock. I need to get some more since it's low right now.
I was just
going to
say, are they trading?
Well, CrowdStrike was in like a dummy. I sold mine. I got it for the low last year during the pandemic because everything went low. If I knew what I knew now, I just would have brought everything.
And just held on to it.
CrowdStrike is cool. I mean, especially when what I like is you look at a detection and the process tree, you can just click the magnifying glass and it'll show you what popped and then what file came in and what processes it started. And then if it got any sub processes, connect to that one and show if it blocked or it ran. So it's pretty visually appealing and pretty cool. I'm pretty sure they probably offer training for you guys to do like the.
They did.
I think it's the CCFR, maybe.
What is it? They gave us access to CrowdStrike University. Mm-hmm. And so we was able to go through all of the 100 level courses. And then once we implement it, then they'll give us access to the rest of the stuff.
Did they give y'all access to the lab environment?
You know what? I'm not even sure. We have CrowdStrike running. It's just not implemented on all our hosts. Gotcha. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
they're doing
a
rollout now.
Whoever the engineer, whoever owns CrowdStrike, ask them that they get stuff to maybe set up a practice lab. Like we have access to a practice lab. So that was always cool to just use that. What else? But Splunk is my baby. I want to get probably my Splunk admin maybe. Mm-hmm. I love doing content. So I love reviewing the correlation searches and seeing how it work, because I come from, a lot of people make it from the top up. I look at it from the analyst down view to where, okay, when this fires, does this make sense for us when it fires, and how actionable is it for us? And that's, you know, that's the thing. So I like doing that. We use Splunk, Phantom, Tanium, CrowdStrike. Mm-hmm. We still got old EPO in there, which is going away. Yeah, a lot of stuff, but.
Yeah.
But
the tools is like what I would give as far as advice to anybody, you know, listening to all of the acronym and the jargon, is that don't worry about the tool so much, because anybody can learn a tool. You just got to know what to do with it. And, you know, my first day on the job, they gave me all these tools and I was like, hey, man, I don't really know. You know, I never heard of these tools. What am I supposed to do? And, you know, they looked at me, it was like, oh, yeah. All right. So if you're doing mail triage, you know, this is where you need to be looking. And I'm like, OK, once you tell me what each one of these tools, like why y'all bought them, now I can go to work. You know, that was the hard part. And, you know, I would encourage anybody, you know, if you get your foot in the door, don't feel afraid, you know, to ask them questions like, hey, it's like giving somebody a hammer and then the other guy got a nail gun. Like they could do the same thing, but if the guy next door got that nail gun, figure out how you can use that nail gun instead of, you know, wasting all your energy with the hammer. That's the best analogy I can give. You know what I mean?
Definitely. That's a big, not pet peeve of mine, but I've worked people don't ask questions and I know they don't know what they're doing and they just be silent, but they're messing up on alerts and stuff. I'm like, ask questions. Whenever I started somewhere new, I'll go find probably like the smartest person. I won't bug them. I'll still do my due diligence, but then I'll ask questions and stuff I'm unsure about. And they say, yeah, let's set up a Zoom and I'll show you. And that's how you get your knowledge. That's how you grow your knowledge. Yeah. So don't be afraid to not know anything. But it's also on the flip side is why I tell people, hey, when you're interviewing or on your resume, be transparent. Don't have these people thinking you principal level when you're entry level. Because then it's going to look bad on you. You're going to mess around and be booted out of there because like, well, this dude, he said he had 5 years of experience and this and that, but he don't know how to use this. He don't know how to do a simple query. And as a guy who used multiple SIMs before, all of them are different, but they are the same. You just got to take the logic of knowing how to investigate when you're using a SIM and you'll be fine. It'll be a learning curve on knowing where to click and how to search stuff. But if you know what to do and why you're doing it, you'll be fine.
And exactly. Because I'm telling you, Splunk, I was like, what in the world is a Splunk? Once I figured out why I needed it, I was like, oh, okay, it makes sense. Now I know how I'm supposed to use this tool.
Right. And Splunk is one of the more simpler / powerful SIMs out there because of how you just search and you can edge your search on the fly and searches you're looking at all the time, you can save and modify. The harder thing might be learning, you know, what different functions like, you know, evals and charts and count and using stuff where all that type of stuff may be, you know, a little hard, but once you use it over and over again, you're pretty good with that. And I also tell anybody, you know, if you're at a new place and you are starting us, like, you know, her title is engineer or SOC analyst or whatever they want to call it. Mm-hmm. You don't understand a rule, try to go see if you can get access to the documentation on when the rule, why was it made and what it's supposed to do. That'll help you figure out what you're looking for. A lot of times you just see the rule fire and like, okay, what's to do with it? I'm like, well, figure out what it's looking for. If you don't understand it, you got Google. Trust me, I still Google stuff if I don't understand.
I Googled today. I almost had a question that I was going to ask one of the senior guys, and I said, you know what? Let me go to old trusty Google. And sure enough, I Googled it and I found my answer and I got right back to work. It's just like you learn a little bit more when you just take the time to just like, just figure it out on your own. You feel like you accomplished something. You add a little bit to your tool bag and to your resume.
Thanks. Especially like, I know it's funny, but it just reminds me of like being a little kid. I used to laugh at an episode of Full House because Uncle Jesse said something my mom used to say to me. She asked about either how to spell something or what does it mean? And he was like, look it up, you remember it longer. But that's true when you do that at work. It's like, you go put the work in and look it up, it's going to stick a little longer than somebody just telling you.
Yeah, I felt so ridiculous. I was trying to link a bunch of events together because I was getting a lot of duplicate alerts. And I was like, let me just link these together. And I fat fingered one of the numbers for the ticket. And I was like, oh, man, can you unlink these? I know how to link them, but can you? I ain't had to unlink. And I went and looked in Google. I was like, yo, what's the search query look like for unlink? And sure enough, it was literally just changing it from link to unlink. I felt stupid, but I was like, well, at least I didn't ask somebody that question out loud.
So y'all work all y'all stuff in XOR? Y'all don't use any ticketing system?
So like, nah, they have another, I forget what it's called. It's another ticketing system that they use.
Is it ServiceNow?
Nope. I can't even, I'm drawing a blank. But SOAR is only for like this suspicious email. The rest of the other stuff fires off notable events. And other,
okay, so y'all don't have, okay, see, like how we have it is we have everything goes into Splunk and then goes into Phantom, and then Phantom's API auto closes everything in Splunk, so we just work it in one place. Because at one time we were working out of two different SIMs, and that was like a little issue, so
yeah, we that's got one of the ways to use it. My biggest complaint was like too many different ways that we could investigate tickets, and so like for me, I stay where I'm comfortable at, and probably in the next month or so, I move on to something else. Because I feel like I want to be a master at one particular area before I move on to something else. I don't want to jump around and not really have a good understanding of how the tool works, even though we're moving on to something else. But
you know, that could be a good suggestion if you bring it up. Say, hey, I think we could be able to send all this into Splunk, and then we could send it into, you know, XOR, and we could work out a one-stop shop and then just pivot back into
those. I think that's their plan for CrowdStrike. So like I would say it, but I think, you know, CrowdStrike is going to get rid of a lot of what I'm complaining about openly right now. But you know what?
Because see, Splunk can handle so much data. That's why it's always good just to feed it into Splunk. And
of course, CrowdStrike is built on the Splunk. You know what I mean?
Because you can open an event search and a detection, and it'll open up a Splunk window.
Facts.
But yeah.
Yeah, I really do like Liberty, though. Liberty is great. They're very transparent about everything.
Do they make y'all say that at internship?
Nah, no. Nobody references any of the ads at all. Nobody, like, you wouldn't even think people knew that that's where they work. Like, when I told my mom, she was like, you're talking about like the Limu Emu guy? I was like, yeah, that's them. And of course, like, you know, I started seeing the commercial a lot more, but you know, they are transparent. If you go on their career page, they're always hiring, always. And not like a lot of other companies, they put what their salary range is. It's not even a question. That way you don't gotta wait and go through all the interview process trying to figure out, is it worth the time? They put it out there. And they pride themselves on telling you, this is what we pay for this level. And they know really like no secret. And that's the dope part about it.
Yeah, more companies are moving that route, especially on LinkedIn. They'll reach out to you and they're like, oh, this is the range we do. I said, all right, bet. You know, recruiter reached out to me today. And I was like, you know, this looks interesting. You know, what's the range? So I'm waiting for her to reply back to that. That way I don't have to waste my time talking to him. But that's cool. I definitely know some people that are, I don't know if they're still inactive or what they're doing, but I'm going to relay that information to them, especially since that's a company like that, because it does, you know, I think that is a good perk, because I like working with people that, you know, are prior military, because one thing they know how to do is follow directions. They're rarely lazy, and, you know, they get their job done. Because I learned that from when I started help desk, a lot of people were like retired Air Force. But, you know, we had one of probably the better help desks that you would ever find, you know, in the world, just because of a lot of that foundation of where people got their start at. But I want to segue into asking you this question, as far as, you know, you being a Black woman, how do you feel about that at work? Do you feel like, you know, you're respected, or you get treated differently, or they don't take what you say serious? Like, I've seen, and from friends I know, and they've told me, they've told me some things about what they experienced with stuff that I don't necessarily experience. And they've told me, I was like, wow, really? And, you know, nobody, you know, took up for you and stuff like that. Like, have you went through any type of, you know, ordeals like that?
Nah, I'm going to tell you, I think because of the landscape is a little bit different, and because everything is virtual, if there are microaggressions, they're not present or obvious. I'm going to tell a lot of people, like, this might sound crazy, but just hear me out. A lot of people are, and when I say people, I mean companies and organizations are into that diversity, equity, and inclusion. And I would take advantage of it. You know what I mean? Like, shoot your shot as a minority. If you see a company touting those three letters, put your hat in the game, because they want to be able to be the ones that say, we are not like everybody else. We actually do have a diverse company. Pause, because I am the only Black female on the team. And it's kind of one of those things where it's just like, you just don't get a lot of women, period, in tech. Now, there's one other Black guy, but he works like the night shift. You know what I mean? So even if there was like a conversation to be had between him and I, where I could ask him if he experienced anything, like, we don't really cross paths, you know, unless I stay on late when he comes on in the afternoon and we just want to chop it up. But like, I haven't really experienced any kind of microaggressions or any kind of special treatment. If anything, they were more happy to say, hey, we are adding to our little diversity pot. We got us a veteran, you got a woman, and as a minority. So like, they checked off a bunch of stuff if that was their intention. And if it was their intention on why they hired me, then I win and they win and I don't really care.
Nice. Yeah, I think a lot of that starts with the top down. You know, you got to have a manager, somebody that says, we're not going to tolerate, you know, that foolishness. And and if somebody comes with a complaint and say, you know, you need to stop, or I'm going to go HR on you about, you know, what you're doing. Because one guy wouldn't give one of my coworkers like access to stuff they need to do their job for a while. And I was just like,
wow,
you know, what's up with that? And, you know, you ain't even got to ask, and I ain't got to say, you already know what this person is. But that person wasn't like that with me or anybody else. I was just like, I think they had that complex of like, you know, you don't know what you're doing or whatever. You're not that important and that kind of stuff. And I was like, yeah, that sucks. But
honestly, no, the culture is dope. I have not had any issues with the culture at all.
Right. That's how I felt about Optus the same way. It's like, you know, I had never been somewhere that was fun. I indirectly, like, you know, experienced stuff like when I was doing knock work with one of the managers there. He was, I don't know, he was on some. He had yelled at us one time. And I was like, that was strike one and three. It never happened again because I ended up leaving. But I was like, I don't know who you think he's talking to.
That's the beginning and the end. We're not doing it.
Facts. And then one of my good friends, like I talk about this in my one of my videos when I was like the worst stock I ever worked at, which was McAfee. one of the director that they brought in, which didn't have any cybersecurity experience, he had worked for the FBI. They were bringing in all the wrong people at the company anyway. And one of my good friends there, who should have been the actual SOC manager because he's the only one that had experience initially, knew what he was doing and would have had us right, was a Black guy. He was a contractor at the time, and he was, you know, he going back and forth trying to be, you know, a a company employee. And he told me one day, he was like, man, I almost lost my job today. I was like, man, what happened? He was like, so I'm getting into work. He was like, and I walk in and Bill sees me and he says, you're welcome. He was like, what? And so he really was telling the man, you're welcome, because it, like, I guess he was fixing his money for his offer and stuff like that. He was like, man, I was this close to losing my job.
Yeah, don't do me any favors.
You realize when you got kids to feed, like, you know. I'm gonna relax because, you know, you different and I'm this. And you used to be FBI, they might try to play me. But that was probably the only time I indirectly seen that. Any other time I didn't. I think for me, the way I carry myself, like, I remember when I first started at Opta, I came in the first day, I had probably like a yellow polo on, and my shirt was tucked in and stuff like that. One of the guys, he was older man. He was like, oh, you in military? I was like, no. He was like, oh, you had a shirt tucked in and stuff like that. I was like, nah, I just wanted to make a decent impression that day I came. But that's cool that you didn't really experience anything. Hopefully it's smooth sailing. You got like some cool people that realize, hey, everybody, we all need to be on that game, do our job, because at any given time, you know, if some go down, we fired. So people had that in the forefront of their mind. They stopped being, you know, stupid, and they realized, hey, this ain't a game.
Yeah, no, I don't want to do that. I don't want to get fired before I get hired.
Cool. So we answered most everything. But the last thing is, I see that you are the CEO of XCT.
Exclusive Cybertech, yeah.
Okay, yeah. And so what made you start that? I believe you run that with another woman as well, right?
My mom, yeah.
Okay, cool. I didn't know that. No, see, I didn't know that as your mom. That's dope. That's really dope.
Long story short, when I first started like my journey into IT, I wanted to be a software engineer. That was the goal. And that imposter syndrome started kicking in. So I was like, I need to kind of like figure out, you know, which way I want to go. And this was before I was introduced to the certs. And so I was like, you know, it's not a lot of Black people that are in like tech. And if they are, you can't like visibly like tell. And so at the time, my mom was trying to start up like a t-shirt business. And I was like, you know what? I got this font and I got this idea. And I'm going to just start putting like some tech roles on there in this Martin font, just like the one I got on. And I just posted it on Twitter and everybody was like, yo, that's kind of dope. Like, where you get that? And I looked at my mom. I was like, you know, I make these, you know, I already had a website and just trying to figure something out. I was just trying stuff to figure out where I fit. Right. And so someone else asked me, they was like, oh, can you do custom? And I was like, yeah, I can put anything on there you want. And at first I was pressing them like, and it was taking up all my time. So I ain't had time to do no programming, no coding, no nothing. I was just making shirts. And I was like, this can't be what I'm destined to do. But for now, it's making me some money, so I'm going to do it. And, you know, the short version is I just wanted to be able to identify with other Black people in the culture that knew exactly what the font was when they seen it. They're like, oh, I know that. That's that Martin thing. And it also represents like, hey, man, like we are also in the IT world. We are out here. We exist. And it was kind of like an open representation of like a little bit of swag and a little bit of like tech, you know what I mean? And so that's kind of how it started, was just mostly with hoodies, a lot of tech gear. And then I just started sharing a lot of the stuff that I learned, cutting out a lot of the long way around getting into IT. I started posting some YouTube videos on there. Hey, these are probably the ones you should watch first if you're thinking about it. And that was kind of it, you know, as I gained more tools in my tool bag, I just offer those services. And one thing I don't do is make people pay, you know, and that's no diss to anybody else, because I feel like there's already enough like barriers for Black people to overcome to get into, you know, the industry. So like, I won't pay for something that I could find on YouTube. And that's kind of what I stand on, but you ain't getting no hoodie for free. That's facts.
I could feel that. For me, it's just only the slight difference is I do charge, one, because of stuff I'm planning on. I got a course I'm probably going to work on. I got the coaching things, but my stuff is, you know, affordable. Like people can, instead of, I used to do consultations a lot, but now it's more so, hey, you can just use the coaching subscription, which is the same price, which gives you more benefits with me. my resume prices aren't really that expensive. They may go up, but it's more so my time and what people
That's
want to get
what's
out of it.
important.
And
That's what
that's
I was going to
how
say.
anybody booking with me, I know off top that they are serious about their career because they are seen as an investment. And those are the type of people that I want as clients. Now, there are success stories with people finding the stuff, from YouTube, but it's really not a lot because I see a lot of times, yeah, I was looking at this and that, but because it's a lot of stuff going on where sometimes people thinking not knowing the people on YouTube don't know what they talk about.
They don't. And so you can get stuck in a tutorial rabbit hole and never learn anything. And so if the content is direct and it's relevant, I'll pay for it. But I have learned that, like, if you're not going to pay, it's going to take you a long time to get there. But
Facts.
that is the same as the investment, like what you're saying. Some people just want to invest and go right to work. There are other people who will invest their time and do their due diligence. You know what I mean?
Right.
I'm
Because
just.
now was a
I don't have the time to be making all the content because I'm still trying to build my career.
definitely. Yeah. For me, what's also I'll share with people if they're still listening right now is that not only do you get I get a chance to help you, I'm not trying to pitch you, but recruiters reach out to me all the time. I reach out to them. I can show a text the other day where they reached out to me about something. I said, "Hey, you got any entry level roles?" Where so I'm building these relationships where they, I've had recruiters that watch my channel. They was like, "I tell, people that are applying to jobs, watch your stuff." I've had, man, all type of people watched it, but it's just that network. That's the one thing, if you can, if I could pay $30,000 to where I'm on a network to where, hey, so-and-so, I know so-and-so, and he's, real good friends with people at Microsoft. And it's like, you know what? This dude got an extensive resume, and you bring him in, he's gonna be good for seat. Because that's all they do now. They do the same thing. So that's one of the things you can't necessarily put the price on. Like, you never know what it's gonna pay. And for me, my stuff doesn't require a time commitment. I tell anybody, you can cancel anytime. I tell the story about the guy. One of my clients I helped, shout out to Ricardo's, 2 weeks in, I helped him go from IT support to SOC analyst role. He was like, "Yeah, man, I really don't want to cancel." I said, "No, man, cancel. My job is done." I was like, "You can stay in the Slack space that I have." I was like, "I'm not, I didn't do this so I can get rich and say, oh, no, man, you got to stay subscribed for 5." No, I mean, every time, people, they cancel, other people, they get their subscription and, hey, that's fine. I have to do it because I am trying to do like different things because and originally when I said I want to be a manager is because I want to get people like us to hire them. But I was like, once I said, I can help more people like this get in opposed to that way where sometimes the barrier to entry where they might not let me hire who I want to hire. So that's pretty much what that's been about. And I think the last thing I'm asking about is like, so what do you think about the Black tech Twitter space? What do you think about
I
it?
ain't gonna lie, like I spend more time than I probably should on Twitter and in the Black tech Twitter space. Just mostly just browsing, reading, a lot of threads, you know what I mean? It's a lot of good content. I think a lot of like organic info you can find on Twitter better than you can find in other spaces. But I just try to put little short snippets of just daily life and some inspiration, you know what I mean? Like just whatever I could do that doesn't take up too much of my time. 'Cause like I said, I'm still on a journey. This is not, the I have arrived moment. This is like, hey, y'all get on this train, 'cause in like 10 years, people like us are gonna be, far out of reach as far as like level of expertise and being able to kind of reach back. So it's kind of like, hey man, y'all, let's go right now because there's not going to be enough of us that understand tech to be able to survive with the way that the world is going. Everything is going digital and it's not going to turn back. So if you don't understand it, I hope you have some other form of lucrative way to survive in a country that's going to be digital forever.
Thanks. And I know I do respect what you just said. Let me give you another hand clap for that because I really do respect that since you do view yourself like as a new person, that you are not trying to masquerade around, as this person with, almost like 10 years of experience and trying to, charge you for that. I don't like that because I'm like, not saying somebody don't know, but you hadn't been in enough environments or seen enough or dealt with enough to understand.
Right.
Most of what I've dealt with is what, you know, my clients deal with now. And that's on, you know, it's very transparent on my Twitter, Instagram, on my YouTube. And they know, okay, he's right here with me. He's like I tell, look, shoot, I started from help desk, you know?
Yeah.
And I tell people all the time, and they come and say, you think I should go to school? I say, honestly, you don't have to. I said, it won't hurt, but I'm not going to say you need to. If you can get in without spending all that money, go for it. I'm just not one of them gatekeeper type of guys. I'm trying to get anybody I can get in. And as long as they're willing, I won't put my name on you if I know you're not willing to work. But if you're willing to work, I'll vouch for you. So,
That's I ain't going to tell you that rocking. My experience is the normal entry in. You just got to do your due diligence, figure out what you want to be when you grow up. And there's a roadmap for it once you figure out what it is that you really enjoy. That's the best thing I could tell somebody. And then, you know, beyond that, when you want to get in the weeds, it's probably when they want to reach out to somebody like you, you know, who's been out here for a little while. I mean, I could answer questions, but probably not more than what my experience is at this very moment.
Yeah, but, you know, you live and learn, you'd be surprised within a year, you feel like you got 3 years of experience. for real. Working at McAfee, I felt like I had like 2 years experience because it showed me everything not to do.
I'm going to tell you, like once I updated my resume with my, just the, you know, the short amount of time that I've been with Liberty, it's people been reaching out like crazy. Like, hey, you know, what do you think they about this role? I had somebody today, he was like, yo, you're interested in this 100% remote? I said, as soon as you say 100% remote, I'm listening. Like my ultimate goal, like no lie, is to probably work two jobs simultaneously that have the same amount of effort. Like, this is what the end goal, because it's not that taxing. What I do is not that taxing anyway. I mean, it's what you make it. So
yeah,
if I could do two of the same thing at the same time and retire myself early, that is the end goal.
That's a bit, you know, I'm not gonna hold you long. It's a Thursday night. It's getting late on the East Coast.
Yeah.
Can you tell everybody where they can, I'm probably going to have your name on there, but just, you know, for audio listeners, can you tell them where they can find you at on Instagram and Twitter?
Yeah, on Twitter and Instagram, it's at Code World. And on my Facebook, I don't really have a presence there for anything that I do social-wise. That's kind of like where all my family and I, we kind of keep up. But yeah, on Twitter and Instagram, at Code World. And if you're on I just got on TikTok. If you're on TikTok, it's Jen Does Cyber on TikTok.
Yeah. I'm going to assume that you are a J. Cole fan too.
I mean, because I'm from North Carolina. He's from North Carolina. That's kind of how it came up. Yeah.
I figured. Shoot, I'm going to talk to you after I stop recording this. But gosh, I know where y'all can find me at all my stuff. Get at me. Send questions. If you want to be on the podcast, the email is in the description. Please reach out and appreciate everybody that's tuning in. And thank you for what you do. Appreciate you for coming in with us. And
indeed.
We out, guys.
Peace.